SS and at Scott Brower underscore 13. Facebook at 1700 The Champ as well. If you didn't hear during the break because you were running out to do stuff to come back in and listen to us, be careful.
Yeah.
If you're taking 235, probably not a good idea right this very second. And traffic was, I think a lot of people are already taking some holiday time.
Yeah.
Because
checking out.
It was not a lot of traffic out there today. B Styles is coming up at 5:21. I got to get his take. So Carlos Correa goes to the Twins last year, has an okay year, and leaves for a $300 million contract in Minnesota. I mean, Minnesota's not going to do that. Where do the Minnesota Twins turn from there? That is a franchise that, they have a great stadium. It's a great city. I don't know where they go. It's difficult, and they can't rebuild. They don't have a lot in there. They're just in trouble, and I'm curious to see what he thinks since he's up there.
Yeah. He's always got a good opinion. I know that.
He does.
So.
You're right on that one.
So with weather conditions the way they are, do you still take the 3580 or do you try to?
No, yeah, I do take 3580 because it's usually not bad.
All right.
And well, it's if everybody would drive like they've seen snow before, it's like they're in a time warp and it's like, man, it's weather's so good. What is this stuff?
I can't believe we're in Phoenix. What is it? Oh, no, we're in Des Moines. Yeah.
This happens all the time. it is my
Your turn.
It?
Your read.
Okay. I've got DMOS, Des Moines Orthopedic Centers, helping you get back to living through orthopedic care. They have three locations, 6001 Westtown Parkway, West Des Moines, 1301 Penn Avenue, Suite 13, Des Moines, 350 Northeast 36th Street, Ankeny, Iowa. Services include foot, ankle, hand therapy, hip, knee, shoulder, spine, sports med, sports rehab, trauma, and urgent injury. Their urgent injury clinics for Des Moines Orthopedic are at both their Ankeny and West Des Moines locations. No appointment needed. Look up times online at dmos.com, and they're pretty darn accurate. West Des Moines hours are Monday through Thursday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., Friday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturday, 8 a.m. to 12 p.m. Ankeny's are Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 3 p.m., and 8 a.m. to 12 p.m. on Saturday as well. The difference between urgent care and emergency room is the severity of the health problem. If the condition is life-threatening, go to emergency room. If the condition is a minor illness or injury, take advantage and the convenience of the urgent injury clinics with Des Moines Orthopedic. New to Des Moines Orthopedic is Engineer Performance by DMOS, world-class sports rehab and performance training center in Central Iowa, 1711 Southwest Plaza Parkway, Ankeny, Iowa, and one location in Huxley. Okay, help me out. Where's Huxley? Yeah, which way is Huxley?
Go north on 69 out of Ankeny. You go past Alleman, and then you go through Huxley.
Huxley.
On your way going up to Ames.
Okay,
right
gotcha.
There 69. Right. There's a curve there that many years we said, don't drive quickly through that town, because that'll get you.
It's the Huxley tax.
Exactly.
It's the Huxley tax that they put out there. All right. Let us talk a little bit about the game tonight. We have
Thursday night.
Where is
at Seattle. Game. My question to you on Thursday night football is give Amazon Prime a grade so far of how they're doing.
I love how they're doing. They just haven't had great games. This might be the best game they've had.
I mean, not to always go back to this, but Cincinnati-Miami was a pretty good game.
No, it was a good game.
It just what happened in the game took away from it.
Yeah.
But,
I mean, that's the last thing.
But they've had some – okay, you're on the radio. People can't see you doing gang signs. But anyway, it has been kind of deflating a little bit with the games, but I'm trying to figure out, was it the game or was it, okay, I got to get to the app, I got to do this. It was a different journey to get to the destination of watching an NFL game.
Here's the thing. So people who use Prime and do all that, it's not a big deal.
Right.
I just thought there were more people out there that do. I mean, I've never done anything. I mean, I'm like you. I do all kinds of things. But my go-to, I just like Prime Video. I like it. I like the ability to you know, use my Amazon card and get movies or not, whatever I want to do.
Right.
I'm just an Amazon guy. I can't believe I'm saying this. I don't like to go into stores anymore. I don't. I just don't like to do it. And so either I'm ordering it online and having them bring it out to my car, or I'm ordering on Amazon. I mean, I just don't go. I mean, I used to be, I love shopping.
You need to go down then with us when we go down to Jingle and Junction, go down to Valley Junction.
No. I like that.
Holy buckets.
You know what we need to do is we need to get a trip because I need some vinyl and I need to go get some new vinyl.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah. You have my well, I have my Christmas vinyl out now.
There you go.
Alvin and the Chipmunks. What is it? 1966. Oh, yes. Got to have that.
I had that and I don't have that anymore.
All right. So back to Thursday night football. So who's
more important? Who's the game? Who is it more important tonight to win? In your mind,
it's the 49ers. They need to win this one to cinch it, if you will, so that they can focus less about that it's a pretty good time for Brock, you know, all these different things that they can go, all right, is this the answer that is going to get us, you know, keep going through the playoffs? They're going to lock it down. Now they have to look at it. Do we need to do different things? Do we coach them differently? We just can't fly by the seat of our pants like this is some quote-unquote gunslinger that's going to get him there.
See, I think they are coaching him the way they want to coach him. I think he's coaching him. This is actually Kyle Shanahan's guy. If he drew him up, he'd make him 3 inches taller. But if he was drawing up a quick read.
He was making a quarterback in a lab. Yeah, this is who he created.
A quick read. Right. And I get 1 second to look at that guy, and I'm going down to my check down. Okay. And they can't get Jimmy Garoppolo to buy into that same not having Deebo Samuel. I mean, I think the game's more important for the Seahawks because if they go to 7-7 with their remaining schedule, which isn't the easiest,
I don't think they have enough pieces to. I mean, yes, it'd be you know, Geno's doing great. But like you said,
people figured him, right. and they don't have a ton of talent. I mean, they are
outkicking. No, I should say outkicking their coverage. They are exceeding expectations as of right now.
And I agree with that.
Okay, I think it's more important because they need this one more win to lock it down for the 49ers, so that they can focus on: do we have all the boxes checked? When's Samuel coming back?
Right, a couple of weeks. But I think they can hold him out for way longer.
My concern is if you have to lean too much on McCaffrey, he's got a history of getting broken.
Yep, he does. Because you don't
need him broken this time of year.
If Seattle beats them, they would be 8-6, and that would make the 49ers 9-5. It's a huge game for San Francisco, and not an easy place to play in.
No, because it's the home of the 12th man in Seattle. I didn't even look what weather conditions are. I mean, it can be a cold, cold, rainy night. It can be, I mean.
That is true. I mean, I've never been to a Seahawks game, but I've been. Seattle's a crazy town.
Right. We've been to the Mariners games. And I mean, you can see as you look downtown, you can see the football stadium, and it just looks like a wind tunnel to me. But I mean, it looks like a big arc, if anything. But anyway, it's
interesting.
It's going to be interesting. I expect it to. Okay, over/under is 43 on this game. I think that's low. I think it's going to get into.
If Deebo Samuel was there, I would bet the over.
There was.
If I had to do it right now, I'd bet the under. What's the take on it? What's the
49ers by 3.5? 49ers by 3.5. Over/under 43. I think even without Deebo Samuels, that they're gonna rely heavily on McCaffrey. They're gonna move the ball that short, the bang, just like they did the other day.
George Kittle's gonna have a big game.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that's I agree with that one.
But I also I I don't think that Seattle's just going to sit back. I think they're going to move the ball. I think they're going to – I mean, that's one thing about being at home. They're going to do what they got to do to throw points on the board. I just think that 49ers are going to outscore them.
And I think that could be they need to keep Brock Purdy up.
Yes.
And it'll be easier than it was. I mean, Tampa Bay's defense is way better than Seattle's defense. I mean,
yes.
Tampa Bay is not a better football team, but their defense, I mean, they had a lot of pressure on Brock last Sunday. A lot of pressure.
And he played through it. And he was, like we always said, that he doesn't have to be the entire fire. He just can't be he can't extinguish the spark. He's got to play, I hate to say mistake-free ball. He doesn't even have to, I mean, it's not even that being mistake-free ball. It's just he has to manage and maintain a forward motion in the game.
He can't be the reason that they score points.
Right.
That's his thing.
Right.
He needs to be the reason that he scores points for his own team, but he can't give them points.
And use your time to stay on the field. If you only get a field goal or whatever, but use your time to stay on the field, because once you flip it so that your defense is out there, I mean, there's only so long you can be out there before you get tired, becomes a variable, all these different things. I mean, I think it's a bigger game for what they need to figure out before they have to get into the meat of what they got to do, you know?
Right.
If this is really truly going to be a run with a rookie quarterback, what do you got to do to make sure you're going to do this?
Because you have Seahawks, then you get the
Commanders
at home.
Yep.
You get at the Raiders.
Yep.
And then you get the Cardinals at home who have given up, should already have fired their coach by then.
Right, right. So you're looking at that going, okay, there's out of those four right there, you should get three wins.
Yep. Seattle, out of those four games, you should get three wins. I agree.
I think they're going to go 2-2. I think
I think 2-2 still gets them where they want to go because.
But how did they lose those games?
Right.
That's what I want to know.
Yeah.
Is when we get down this path, is it did they light him up for interceptions? Did they
I get that.
Pressure him? And I mean, it this depends so much on his confidence of going into this. The one game that stands out for me is the Commanders game. I mean, those boys are playing. I did not expect. I expected them to be some smoking crater, and they're still playing hard.
And here's the one thing that we forget about, and then all we've talked about is the offense and Brock Purdy. San Francisco has the best defense in football.
Oh, I know that.
And give up no points.
We talked about this during
the doesn't have to do much.
Right.
He just has to do what he's done, I agree with you.
During the Miami game, it wasn't the fact – I mean, he overthrew – overthrew a lot of passes, but he had people in his face left and right. Yeah. And the fact that he's not 6'4",
it's crazy. And so both of us then on Saturday have big games in our future. I'm Lamar Jackson-less, and my other quarterback had been banged up but got cleared to play. I always like that. Yep, he's cleared concussion protocol. Okay, has he cleared concussion protocol because you have no other people?
Yeah.
Or what's going on? They have to go to Cleveland. Going to Cleveland has not been good for my Ravens, but Cleveland is a mess right now. And then Miami, you have to go to Buffalo, and that's
they're already talking about.
That's difficult enough to go to Buffalo at the beginning of the year, but for a team like Miami, and it's no different than I was trying to think who Miami was playing earlier this year, and they won in the last seconds.
Baltimore.
Did Miami? Did they play the Chiefs yet? No,
no,
they haven't played.
They beat Buffalo.
And Buffalo was gassed. Josh Allen had nothing left because it was hot as could be.
It was 100 and some degrees, right.
So
and they had it set up that they
couldn't
they
play
were in,
there.
Right,
and now you have the return trip.
Right.
So Buffalo is going to be. I remember seeing Tua and Josh Allen handshaking and hugging at the 50, and Josh Allen was done. I mean, he had run all over the place. That was a great game. That was like down to the wire, really good game.
Yeah, on-field temp was like 112. They didn't have shade on Buffalo side. I mean, they game played it. That's what they always do.
And that's what Buffalo is going to do. They're going to leave snowdrifts over there, they're going to do all kinds of stuff.
No, you can't have that many heaters, sir. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you can't do that. But, I mean, those are the Minnesota-Indianapolis game. It's a big game for Minnesota. Minnesota, I mean, that clinches a playoff and almost clinches them the 2 seed.
Right.
And they can't get, I don't think, they're not going to get to the one seed with Philadelphia, I don't think. But not as big a game. It's a huge game for Minnesota, and we'll talk to B here in about 7 minutes and figure out.
I got one for you, too, in regards to gameplay of how things are done. Did you see that, and I guess I didn't even notice it because I don't watch a lot of Raiders football, but they're not allowing them to do what they were doing as far as kickoffs? The Raiders are out there would hold, they even because you can have a holder when it's windy to hold the football on the tee, right? They would have a holder out there, and he would put it on the front part, if I remember correct. But anyway, because the tee is supposed to be 1 inch off the ground. He would elevate the ball to the highest part, hold the ball, which would give an advantage to kick it higher to get let people get down.
Right.
You know, so they, like, well, no, you can do this. Well, there's no wind. Well, you can do it. But they said, all right, fine, your gamesmanship that you're taking advantage of, you can't do it anymore. But to me, that was like, okay.
Smart.
Yeah, who's the best at reading the rule book? Belichick.
Right.
I mean, he just would go through and figure out, well, no, this actually says this. I'm not doing it wrong. Well, you're not morally doing it right.
It does say you can deflate footballs. Football exactly. is what our quarterback wants them to be.
Yes. It's all about the grip.
Yeah.
All about the grip.
You have Cincinnati, Tampa Bay. That's a good game this weekend. A huge game this weekend. If I'd have told you at the beginning of the year that this game was going to be flexed to prime time Sunday night, and it's the New York Giants against the Washington Commanders, you'd have went, what? Because I went, what?
Yeah, exactly.
And that got flexed. I think that's incredible. The game I'm looking forward to, and now that I'm saying it, it's probably going to be horrific, but Dallas having to go to Jacksonville. Jacksonville's a better football team than people think. I do not want to play them.
Trevor Lawrence, man.
I do, too. I don't want to play them next year. I know that for sure.
Beast Al's coming up.
He is. You are listening to us. It's Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. We're coming to you live on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM. Real sports talk for real sports fans. Brendan Styles coming up next.
Here's a look at traffic. Steen on sports. 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in, everybody. Once again, happy Thursday. It's Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. We're coming to you live in studio. 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM. Real sports talk for real sports fans. It's crazy out there.
Yeah, be safe.
Snow. Wow, like we don't know what snow is.
Silly, silly, silly.
Shutting the city down with a little bit of flurries, but we'll be okay. This segment will be brought to you by Palmer Group, an employee-owned company providing employment services since 1998. Finding a job has always been challenging, but in 2022-23, it's even more daunting. Palmer Group was founded to change the dynamic and focus on both the clients and the candidates to make lives better. It's the company's motto of getting candidate companies on the same page to make things happen has never been more important or challenging. Currently, over 300 jobs are open on their website at thepalmergroup.com. Jobs in accounting, finance, admin, customer service, manufacturing, information technology, mortgage, and banking keep both the staff and candidates very busy. Check out the website and find out what Palmer Group can do for you. We want to thank them for being a part of the show. Now we're going to see what Brendan Styles, he is at the B Styles on Twitter, what B can do for us. B, how you doing, brother?
Good. You guys are talking about snow that you got down there in Des Moines. We got plenty of it up here in Minneapolis today, and we're supposed to get more of it tomorrow. So, yeah, it's definitely winter, but I think we got a fun weekend ahead up here. It got tomorrow over in St. Paul, the Blackhawks are in town, and then on Sunday the Bulls are here in Minneapolis against the Timberwolves. So, I'll be enjoying both of those this weekend, hopefully. But
there you go. You got Indianapolis coming to town as well.
The Colts or the Vikings. Yes. That game. Mm-hmm. That's on Saturday.
The Minnesota. Yeah, he's not a Minnesota.
Yeah, that game.
He's
a
Bears fan. He's a Bears fan.
Yeah. Yeah, but I get the joy of watching Jalen Hurts absolutely torture us on Sunday. So
that is not good. I saw that, and I don't know if I'm the Chicago Bears. And I'll ask, do you want Justin Fields playing, or are you okay if he doesn't play because he hasn't felt good?
I mean, if he can play, okay. But they're at a point now; they're not going to win any of these remaining games. Maybe the last game of the season against Minnesota. If the Vikings are playing the backups, otherwise they're playing Philly this Sunday. then Buffalo comes to town on Christmas Eve, and then they go to Detroit, who is as good as anybody here the last few weeks. They're at a point where I have a hard time seeing them win another game, and at this point you might as well put yourself in a position where come spring you're talking about either Will Anderson or Jalen Carter being on your defensive line.
Yeah, that's gonna be a nice thing for them, and to see how many people are willing to come to Chicago to play with Justin Fields to see how they can spend their money.
That'll be the key. Well, here's the difference. They're going to have to spend their money because they're going to have the highest salary cap of any team in the league here this offseason, which, you know, maybe I know baseball doesn't have the salary cap, but maybe the Cubs and White Sox can both take some notes on that.
My goodness.
Because I'm hearing crickets coming out of both sides of town.
How would two teams that make as much money as they do not spend a dime?
I'll preface this by saying I realize that Dansby Swanson's still out there and there's maybe a chance the Cubs can get him, but this goes back to what I said to you guys back in the summer, I believe, which is you have two teams in the third biggest city in the country, and both of them are by far the biggest markets within their divisions, and they don't act like it.
No.
And, you know, I understand. It would be one thing if, like, you're actively pursuing the shortstops that have been out there and you're just with it. Like, okay, it happened to the White Sox a few years ago with Manny Machado in free agency. But, like, it seems like the Cubs are wanting to have a certain deal. They're fixated on having a certain number of years. But you see Xander Bogaerts sign for 11 years. You see Trey Turner sign for, I think, 11 years. And Carlos Correa now leaves here Minnesota, goes to San Francisco for 13 years. That appears to be the going rate. And, you know, maybe Dansby Swanson, maybe you can convince him to only take like 7, but if I were him, I would have to think if those guys are getting those many years and that much money, that's probably what he's going to try and hold out for now, especially being the one big shortstop that's left out there on the market.
Yeah, he's going to say, I want my money too. I don't think they're going to get him down that low. I agree with you on that.
And the other point of it too is, you think about the fact that Trey Turner went to Philadelphia, Xander Bogaerts went to San Diego. Not only did those two teams just meet in the NLCS this past October, but those are the two teams that got Bryce Harper and Manny Machado 4 years ago, and you're having the same conversation back then of, oh, my God, those deals that they signed are so long, and they're going to end up being bust. Here's what's going to happen. These are all national – other than Aaron Judge staying with the Yankees, these are all National League teams. And what they're going to just end up doing is when these guys are past their prime, they'll just make them DHs. And then they'll spend – because there's no salary cap – they'll just spend more money on younger, more quality guys that can play every day.
Yeah, that's the part about spending the money. And that's the other part of this, too, is you don't have to have them playing these positions all the time because they can DH. Now that you have
just,
DH
just
in
look
both
at Bryce
leagues.
Harper.
Yes.
I mean, just look at Bryce Harper this past year. He had an elbow injury that if the National League didn't have a DH, I mean, obviously we know the Phillies probably wouldn't have made the World Series anyway, but if the National League didn't have a DH, he probably would have had to sit out the whole season with the elbow injury because he wasn't able to play the field. They basically were forced to make him their DH like after a month, within a month of the season starting, and he ended up playing that role the whole year. But you look at what they were able to do, and now they add Trey Turner to that lineup. They got cornerstones for at least a decade here, if nothing else.
I wanted to ask you, and once again, we're talking to Brendan Stiles. He's at the B Stiles on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Just a quick one here, and a couple of
sure.
Sides of happiness and sadness happen. You mm-hmm. Mississippi State loses Mike Leach,
yeah,
and all of that, and then you have something that happens down in Texas with Chris Beard, and that. I mean, what's kind of your take on those two stories?
Well, Mike Leach, that's just really sad and unfortunate. And it's crazy to think that, you know, he was just with his team at a practice on Saturday, and then Sunday he just started feeling some bad conditions that ended up leading to a heart attack, and then he ends up dying. And it just basically says that tomorrow's not guaranteed. So that's a really sad story. And you think about the impact he had on college football. I saw something where he is one win away from reaching the plateau that you need to be eligible for the College Football Hall of Fame. You have to have, I believe, a 60% winning percentage. And it's just like, man, if let's say this had been a few weeks later after they played their bowl game against Illinois and they won that. Instead, now you're sitting there with him being 59.6, and it's like, come on, just round up. Just let him in. I mean, he had the impact with the air raid offense that we all know about, dating back to when he was at Iowa Wesleyan. You saw what he did at Oklahoma when Bob Stoops first got there. You saw what he did at Texas Tech all those years. He made them relevant.
He's got a good coaching tree, too. A really good coaching tree.
Just look at Lincoln Riley. Yeah. I mean, that's the prime example right now. So he absolutely left an impact that is going to continue to be there in college football for a long time. As far as Chris Beard goes, that I don't even know how his players managed to play a game Monday night with all that going on.
If it's 25% true, he's got to lose his job.
Oh, absolutely. The whole thing with domestic violence in general, just it shouldn't happen. It's just unfortunate. It's an unfortunate situation. You obviously hope the legal stuff plays out, but assuming it does, like you said, if even a fraction of what happens true, he's got to go. And that's a shame for Texas because they've been a solid basketball team up to this point. When you think about what they've done this season, they opened a new arena. They beat Gonzaga earlier in this year. I imagine they're going to be a top-tier team in the Big 12 along with Kansas and Baylor. So that's one of those things that that's for the players and everybody else within that program. It sucks that something like that had happened. But with him, it's just like you want to believe he's innocent, but if he's not, yeah, he's got to go. Like you can't be messing with that kind of stuff.
Here's one of these things that make you go, hmm. Matt mm-hmm. Eberflus says that Chase Claypool doesn't have the offense kind of down yet, and he doesn't know what all the plays are.
I mean, I could maybe buy that a little bit, but he's been there for over a month now. So that meanwhile, you see somebody like, and granted, it's a different position, but you see somebody like Baker Mayfield come in and learn the Rams playbook in 2 days, and he's able to lead them on a drive 98 yards down the field. It's different for different players, and you hope through the off season that Claypool is able to get a full grasp of everything and can be on the same page with Justin when next season comes along. But at this point, it is what it is. There's four games left, and you know it's you're at the point where once this season ends, it's all about 2023.
The state of the Iowa football team with the transfer portal and everything, getting ready for a bowl game, probably a little bit better last 10 days than maybe the first 10 days.
Yeah, I mean, Cade McNamara literally committed and then signed within minutes of me coming off my last appearance with you guys.
Yep.
And then they add Eric All. Those are two solid players that they got from Michigan. I don't know how much it ultimately makes them better for next year, because I know there's a whole focal point of having Sam Laporta and Luke Lachey being the focal points of your offense, but it's going to be two tight ends again next year with Lachey and Eric All. And now you have a quarterback that probably is a little more promised than Spencer Petras does. And I keep thinking back to, well, first of all, this tells me that Brian Ferentz is probably going to stick around in some sort of capacity, whether it's still as OC or just something, because think about it. This is looking similar to what he had when he was the tight ends coach in New England, when he had Gronk and he had another player who I don't think we should be naming, but you get the idea. They got to the Super Bowl with that, running that kind of offense. And obviously it's different in college because you have receivers and they want the ball, and you got to incorporate wide receivers into your game if you can. But it seems pretty clear to me that Iowa, at least to this point, I don't know how much they're really evolving other than, you know, maybe they have better playmakers going into next year as opposed to what they had entering this past season.
That was one of the better tweets I saw today. It said, forget about wide receivers, just let's run five tight ends. So.
Exactly. You know, and the problem is that for Cade McNamara, he doesn't have Michigan's line, and they got to fix that too, B.
Well, yeah, and I suspect that there's probably going to be more guys that end up in, that they acquire through the portal. And then obviously the big thing is going to be with signing day coming up here real soon, if Caden Proctor, if they're able to hold on to him, because I know Deion's been coming hard at him. I know Nick Saban apparently made a trip up to Des Moines a couple weeks ago. So I know he's got the firm commitment there with Iowa, but you know those other programs, they're hovering around, and until he signs that dotted line, that's something that you still got to be concerned with.
What's the percentage? You think it's 90% that he signs with Iowa?
I mean, it's probably – I think at this point it's going to be close to 100. I would be shocked if he didn't at this point, just because I feel like it's one of those things where if he didn't feel comfortable with the idea of being at Iowa at this point in time, then he would have probably decommitted right around the time he made that visit to Oregon.
Right.
And the fact that he didn't do that tells me that he still has a pretty strong commitment. And it's not like these other teams, it's not like he's going to Tuscaloosa or to Boulder, you know,
right.
It's just a matter of Deion's throwing him an offer. Saban's coming up here, just kind of poking around, seeing what's going on. But I think it's one of those situations, especially with Xavier Wankba or Wankba, being at Iowa for a full year now and them being teammates together in high school, I think Caden's probably going to stick at this point.
Do you have an issue with Fran McCaffrey and the Fran face and the getting mad? It didn't cost them a basketball game. I hate when people say
no.
stuff. I mean, technical coaches get usually help their teams not
I don't because I don't because more times than not when he's doing that kind of stuff, it's he's battling for his players. Now, there are times where he's crossed the line, like what happened at Ohio State a few years ago. And then most notably that I remember when I covered the team and they were up at Wisconsin, he bumped the official. Obviously, you can't be doing stuff like that. But in terms of just being upset with an official and just seeing the face and the memes, that is what it is. He's clearly sticking up for his players. He didn't like the way the game was being officiated. And it's always tricky when they play Wisconsin. So that didn't really surprise me a whole lot. And like you said, they were able to get the game to overtime. They had a chance. It's unfortunate they didn't come out with a victory. But now, you know, they got a couple of non-conference games here that they can at home that they should be able to win before they get back into Big Ten play. And hopefully by that point, Chris Murray is able to go again.
A 20-win team?
I think it's close. Maybe possibly with the Big Ten tournament in there. Yeah, I could see it.
So NCAA bound, so they'll be fine.
Yeah, I think as long as they finish around 500 or better, as long as they're you know in that range in Big Ten play, I think they'll be fine.
15 seconds. Who you got tonight? San Francisco or Seattle?
I actually think Seattle wins because not just because they're at home, but it's Brock Purdy's first road start. The Seahawks get Kenneth Walker back. And it is a short rest for Purdy in terms of preparation for this game. I think it could be a little bit different than what he's had being able to play in Santa Clara the last couple of weeks.
There you go. All right, B, I appreciate it, buddy. We,
absolutely.
We'll see what's going on next week. You bet.
All right.
Talk to you later. It's good to have B on.
He's good.
He is good.
I love the way he, oh, Iowa snow. That's funny. I'm in Minnesota.
Exactly. Yeah.
Gotta love him.
Gotta love him. You are listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. We got one segment left. You're listening to us live on 101.3 FM, 1700 Champ AM, Real Sports Talk. For real sports fans, we got some potpourri to get through. We'll be right back.
Begin the application process. 1700, The Champ, Central Iowa's home for sports talk radio. Steen on Sports, real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in. Last segment of Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. Cars started. See what it's going to be like.
Covered cars, yes.
Don't want to hear the, I'll wait to hear the traffic report.
Is your little whiz bang thing, is that all-wheel drive or front-wheel drive?
It's all-wheel drive.
Okay. Yeah. Mine is four-wheel drive, so yeah. We're good.
You're good. We're all good. You are listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. We want to thank B for coming in. Brendan,
he's awesome.
He's so much fun. Wind him up and let him go. We want to thank our sponsors, Northwest Bank, Woodman Controls, Des Moines Orthopedic, Palmer Group, Heritage Building Maintenance, BetMGM. Thank them for all that they do.
And come and go.
There you go.
There you go.
Football game tonight?
Yes, there is.
It's an important game. It's going to be curious. I got to do this, though. Tua Tagovailoa. Dolphins are not thinking about the forecast as they prepare for Buffalo. It's a mindset thing.
Okay, and I just showed you a text, or not a text, but a tweet. A tweet that said, hey, it snows in Alabama too, guys.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Buffalo snow in Alabama. Yeah.
What did they had to move the Buffalo game to, where did they play in? They
moved it to Detroit.
Because they had 6 feet of snow.
Exactly. The forecast of snow, I remember that before the game in Buffalo, was there was two players that the snowfall prediction was taller than. So
yes, so yeah. Buffalo's a different, the people in Buffalo with this snowstorm right here are going, I'm not even wearing a coat. What are you guys doing?
I know.
And they're putting ice instead of fire on their tables just to show you that they can break through ice as well.
B has a thought lingering in my mind, and then we'll move on to Potpourri because I know you love that segment of our show. The Chris Murray thing.
I don't know what's wrong with Chris Murray.
It's plantar fasciitis, which is basically right. What, a stretching of the arch?
Right.
And it's not, you just run to the Good Feet store and slap it in and then you're good to go.
No. And this
lingers.
It affects minutes, and it affects back to back. So your Thursday, Saturday is the big tennis. So, you're going to, that's a lot of points. That's 20 points a game. I don't know how you make up 20 points a game.
This is going to linger, man.
With that squad. It just, I don't know. It's just different. And I don't, if you ask me what the story of Iowa basketball is so far, is I think Peyton Sanford is an amazing basketball player. I've watched him play. I've watched him play since he was little. Coached against him. Kid never misses. And his shots all look good. They're just not going in.
Right.
I hate to be the team that gets him on a game where he gets hot. Because if I'm Fran McCaffrey and he hits 3 out of his first 5, he's taking 15 more before the game's
green
over.
Green light.
You just got to shoot. You got to get him back in the realm.
It breaks your heart because, he just came out of the chute looking, that he was going to be really good with more rounded stats, all the different things, maybe get out of the shadow of his brother and all these different things. But just it hurts because that is not something that you can rehab it out. You can fix it out. It's, oh, hey, you know what? 3 weeks, he's going to be fine. It's going to hurt. It's going to linger.
It is. And I've had it, and it's not easy.
It's not delightful.
No. And I'm not – I wasn't trying to do – it was in my early 20s when we're still trying to think we're able to do that stuff. But, it's not easy.
All right, where are you going on your potpourri there?
So here's my first potpourri, and sometimes I think I saw a stat come out the other night where they were saying some of the people to watch and stuff in the NBA. Okay. And it kept coming back to me because, they're saying, LeBron and Anthony Davis and Steph Curry and Joel Embiid and Jason Tatum. And
I'm Jokic.
Jokic had 2 games last week. This was his last one. Mm-hmm. He was 43-14, 8 assists, 4 steals, and he shot 85%. Luka Doncic scored 54, had 12 rebounds, 10 assists, and shot like 62%. I get that they're big, tall, white guys that look like they should be playing in a rec league somewhere. I think these guys get undervalued because of how they play. Even more for Joker, because Joker doesn't need the ball in his hands the whole shot clock.
Right.
Luka Doncic, everything runs through him.
Is it about their origin story?
I don't know.
The style of ball, the path they took?
6'10 white guys. I don't know. I don't know why they don't. Steph Curry last night hurt his shoulder, stripping out a ball, but they're not playing well, and I get it. Once you win an NBA championship again, you struggle through these things. And people went, how good is Steph Curry? Against a team last night, and he gets hurt. He got hurt in the first with 2 minutes left in the first half. You know how many points he had in the first half? 38. He had 38, and he's the only guy that was on the floor that could score.
Yeah.
We're in this time frame because where did we go last night? Oh my gosh, we went to Skornovakos in Altoona. Scornovaco's. It's at where really? Godfather's used to be. So right across from Prairie Meadows, it's now Scornovaco's. Dude.
There was a Godfather's across from Prairie Meadows?
I thought that's what was there.
Wasn't it Bianchi's?
Well, it was the, I think it was
God's. Next to the little.
That's where it's where it's at. It was okay. It's in Bianchi's.
Okay.
I had a taco pizza last night that, oh my Lord.
Dude, Gusto's moved down to where Whiskey River and Teddy Maroon's was down on Ingersoll. And yes. We went down and had their Ditka Chicago style. Oh my Lord, it was good.
Yeah.
And then they're doing a Detroit style, and it's those guys do it well.
We were trying to find a place to go, and she didn't want to go to the same. So it was nice to have them there. I mean, it Altoona's like 3 or 4 restaurants away from being where you could stay in town. it makes it difficult.
I just got a text. I got worried there for a second because when I read it off my wrist before I read it on my phone, something about the car swerved. I'm like, oh, no, please, no. And then it's like the car got a mind of its own and swerved into Francie's parking lot. You're here. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, so you know where you're not heading all the way home.
No, I've got to make my Southside Italian sausage chili tonight, so I got to get that ready for tomorrow.
This makes me feel old.
Oh, your legs, your knees?
Dr. Dre's Chronic is 30 years old today.
Yes.
30 years old.
Yeah.
I mean, he was just a young, I watch, I can't even remember what it's called, but I watch it on Prime all the time. It's Jimmy Iovine and Dr. Dre and mm-hmm. all the things they went through, from Jimmy Iovine starting from where he was to now being like an Apple conglomerate that right. he is. But just to see how young those guys were and some of the things that they went through right. and all of that. But I'm like, man, it's 30 years old.
Yeah.
That means I've been out of high school a lot longer than 30 years. It's called 40. Yeah. 40 years.
I'm coming up on my 35th next year.
$100 million in upgrades are happening to Mile High Stadium.
Why?
Want to know what happens when you have Walmart money that owns your stadium?
There
you can do whatever you want. So I'm thinking they're going to have, like, you know, yellow light. Kmart.
That was blue light special, and that was Kmart.
No, it's a really cool stadium. I've been there once. It needed upgrade. I mean, it's upgradable by
well, when you're getting things like SoFi and what you've got in yeah. Vegas and things like that. And it's sounds like the mayor's losing her appeals and stuff. Chicago, that you're gonna see a complex in what is yep. it, Arlington Heights.
Yeah, and where she
well, and it's just to hear the stories about. Hey, let's go downtown and have a good time. You don't hear those stories about going downtown and having a good time anymore.
No. Saw today that Joel Gordon, he was the quarterback coach for Iowa State. He's no longer with Iowa State.
Yep.
That might. I was trying to think if that opens up for Kyle Kemp or if there's one more person ahead of Kyle Kemp. I would love to see Kyle Kemp be on that coaching staff, though. He's always.
As soon as he did that, I saw responses from some people that know Iowa State said, okay. Open the door for
you. Got to keep him. Yep. If not, he's gonna go somewhere and right. coach. Not that he's an Iowa State guy, but you have to.
Are we really treating last year a talent thing or was it a coaching thing? It really seems like we're.
I think it was a coaching thing, and I think you saw the coaching thing went into this year, and still was there was a bunch of times we were up there watching the games that you go, boy, that's a really weird play to run.
Okay.
And when you watch other teams, and sometimes when they run that play and you go, oh, you know, but they have, you know, a 5-star lineman and a 5-star running back and everything doesn't have to work perfectly. Right. Iowa State is getting past that, but it's no different than Iowa either. They're one bad thing away from being bad and one great thing away from being right. really, really good.
Right.
And you have to figure out where that is. And the fact that it's coaching that's bringing you, because it's coaching that brought Iowa down this year. It wasn't all players' fault.
I agree.
A lot of it had to do with schemes and all that. And Brian Ferentz thinking it was 1942 when he was running. So who knows? How fast did today go?
Yeah.
It went pretty fast. We appreciate you guys coming in. We'll be here next week on Tuesday and Thursday.
Yep.
I'll be here on Monday, so we'll be here on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday. I will be here on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday.
I'll be here Tuesday, Thursday. Yep. We'll have a great time.
And then we'll be ready for the Christmas season. We'll be doing some fun stuff next week. You're listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. We're coming live from 101.3 FM, 1700 Champ AM. Drive safe. Be safe.
Here's a look at traffic.